Well, good evening, boys and girls in the wonderful world of After Rot. We are gathered tonight for a presentation of two excellent authors joining us this evening. This is a whole new ball of wax. New people. Two people at one time. We could break the After Rot. I don't know. Probably not. Joining us tonight is Sheldon Higdon and Tom Erb. By the way, Tom, I see your trucks all over the place.
I know. It's, you know, everybody needs a hobby.
So why don't you both give yourselves a little bit of a, hey, who is ya?
Go ahead, Tom. I'll let you go first.
I'm Tom Erb, and I'm a fiction author of fantasy, horror, thriller, just about anything. I like to try just about anything. I think I have three novels out, a bunch of short stories, and I just love to create.
Creating is fun.
Indeed.
And I'm Sheldon Higdon, and I'm an author with my second book out now, Dark Roots. First novel, a middle grade novel, came out 2 years ago, The Eerie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn. And I'm a screenwriter on top of it with a short film that was produced in London and will be hitting the festival circuit this next year before it's released publicly. So,
which London?
London, England.
Okay, good. Because we got a London here that's about an hour away from me.
Yeah, not Canada.
And I think there's a London in the U.S. too, somewhere.
I was thinking Jersey.
Yeah,
Jersey. Somewhere.
I don't remember.
All right. So you both have new books that have been coming. Just came out, last month? I know we were originally scheduled to go last month with this discussion, and things affected things, as they will, because the world does not work according to the parameters we love to impose upon it. So let's talk about that for a second. So you guys are buds. Do you guys go to the conventions at the same time and do this fun social stuff that way?
Oh, definitely.
When possible, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's how we met. We met in 2008, I want to say, at...
Context, right?
Yeah, in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, yes. That's where me and Tom met. And here we are coming on 20 years later.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, we were in our 30s when we met each other.
Now you're old. Oh, wait.
Old and gray and whatever else. But, yeah, I mean, the last time we saw each other was... 2 years ago, I think, at the Pittsburgh, here in Pittsburgh, for StokerCon, Horror Writers Association StokerCon. It's far and few in between for us to see each other, but, it's nice when we can.
Definitely. And hopefully we can remedy that too in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
That was going to be my next set of questions on there. It's like, do you find that convention activity is decreasing, increasing, remaining the same, going in left field?
The last couple of years, except for last year, I didn't go to the Stoker in Connecticut. I went the year before in San Diego, and then the year before when it was here in Pittsburgh. And then this coming June, it's back here in Pittsburgh, and it will be back here again in 2027 for Pittsburgh before it goes on to somewhere else. So I'll hit those because obviously they're in my backyard. I would like to attend Dragon Con in the fall of 2026.
Have you ever been?
No.
I've been once.
Yeah.
30 years ago.
Cool. So I hope... and try to do some stuff here around Pittsburgh.
You're cutting out, unfortunately. Sheldon, you okay?
Uh-oh.
he may have just gone mute or something. Well, this controller thing is a little weird.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
All right. Yeah. No, it's not you. It's me. For some reason, my internet cut on me.
Ah! Oh, that damn internet will do that.
Yeah, apparently I was giving out too much information and, the government heard me and shut me down.
Yeah. Big brother.
Well, interestingly enough, the show on before us is, they talk a lot about conspiracy theories.
Oh, okay.
And other alternative stuff. Maybe that rubbed off. Maybe.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Supposedly. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Somewhat kind of.
Supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. Well, as far as conventions for me, I've actually cut back a lot. I've been through a lot of life changes in the past 5 years or so. So, financially and just situationally, I kind of had to pull back because, the reality is that conventions are pretty darn expensive. And at what level we're at, we have to we're paying for everything. And so you kind of got to, figure out the whole ROI thing, is it worth the investment? But I'm hoping to remedy that, hopefully with snow blackout now, and hopefully it'll pick up some momentum, and then I can meet up with Sheldon at StokerCon next summer, and maybe some other conventions, and I'll try to do a lot more locally here in Western New York.
Cool.
Hopefully.
Did Sheldon disappear again?
No, okay. I'm here.
Excellent. We got.
He learned his lesson.
Excellent. Yeah. Don't mind me. I like to laugh a lot. Apparently, people get confused because I'm a happy person for the most part, even when the world is burning around me.
How dare you?
I know. Let's put it this way. I have this mental issue that's called, I would rather be happy than sad. Because I can choose to be happy, not sad.
Yeah, usually things make you sad, but you can choose to be happy about stuff.
Exactly.
Good philosophy.
Who has a guest appearance in a book called Symptom of the Universe?
Oh, that would be me.
Not me.
Dude. I love Black Sabbath.
That
talk to me about that for a second.
That was a fun anthology to be part of, because music is such an important part of my life and my writing. They're heavily intertwined. But yeah, I was chatting with some people online, like we all do, and I can't remember which one it was specifically, but they knew I was a drummer and that I was into metal and all other stuff, and they're putting a charity anthology together for Black Sabbath. And anybody who's seen me online knows that I'm incredibly nutso about Ronnie James Dio. So,
Dio is awesome.
To write a short. Asked me if I wanted to write a short story. And so my first choice was Mob Rules, but some already snagged that one up. So I ended up going to that album and finding Country Girl.
I'll do an excellent song.
It is an absolutely entrancing song. The lyrics are, I've never really listened to it that in depth before lyrically. And once I did it from an inspirational standpoint, it was really, really, really cool song. And I ended up writing a very haunting Civil War short story called Lorena, based on Country Girl. So, it's a fun anthology, and a lot of other good stuff in there, too.
Well, cool. I see it was put out by Dark Moon Rising Publications, edited by J.C. Masek or Makek?
I think it's Masek.
The third.
He's a good guy, too. Yeah, they're another small press, but they put out some really cool anthologies, and I'm actually in talks with them in the spring about perhaps doing either an all 80s metal anthology or another one of my passions is doing a Warren Zevon tribute.
Okay. That would be a tag if.
Well,
I mean, how many other songs does Warren Zevon have that people actually know?
Well, it'll be a lesson for them because there's a lot of great songs, and he was probably one of the greatest songwriters ever. So, I like to educate, so maybe that's an opportunity.
Every opportunity to chat with somebody is an opportunity to educate. Somebody asks a dumb question. Yeah. It's not a dumb question. It's an opportunity to learn something you didn't know before.
Or I can give them a dumb answer.
I get a lot of those enough as it is already, just by watching people drive in front of me.
Oh, amen to that.
We won't discuss those things because it's terrible the way people drive in this winter. It's winter, for crying out loud. Snow falls. Come on. It's not like it's a surprise.
Well, everybody has to learn all over again every year.
Yeah, apparently. This is one of the reasons why, and I was chatting with Sheldon earlier. He was asking about Toronto. I don't drive downtown anymore because now I drive a big-ass truck, and I like it that way. So I'm driving in today's storm. 4x4 is on. I'm driving casual. I'm not being an idiot driving all over the place. That's a casual drive. But everybody else is like, why are you driving like that? It's terrible. But
it's all
we're not talking about winter. That was a whole other ball of wax, right?
Yes.
Unless you're talking about the winter and snow black.
I was just going to segue to snow black. Go for it.
You guys are professional. Okay. Snow Black is I call it a monster novel, but it there's more than that. But it's basically about an ancient evil that's woken by some intrepid hunters, and they unleash this darkness upon the small Western New York town of Sterling Point, and it's all set in the backdrop of Christmas Eve. As a nor'easter is hitting and just destroying the town. And so the main character comes back to town when his mother passes away, and he gets caught up in this, the old life that he was trying to run away from those years before. And then now he has to deal with that storm plus the storm from the winter, and then the darkness that's coming with the hunters, and all kinds of bloodletting ensues.
Bloodletting's always fun.
Oh, sure, especially on Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a gift of giving.
Oh, there was a movie, Nice Life. Oh, what the hell was it? And it was Knife.
Yeah.
Wasn't it that great a movie, but it was like, oh, I like the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Yeah. It wasn't very well received, I don't believe.
No.
But it was last year's release. This year's going to have other new releases, I'm sure. Oh, if you ever get the opportunity, Anna and the Apocalypse, hell of a fun Christmas movie.
Yeah, I know of it, I just never seen it.
Zombies and musical.
Well, then there
you go. Can't beat that.
And British.
All right.
So Sheldon, as we're going into darker places, how's Dark Roots about?
Let's see. I probably could have put a trigger warning at the beginning of the book, but you know, there's talk of suicide. There's evidence of kidnapped children. There's, you know, a lot of trauma, family trauma. It's also about learning who your family is, and about discovering family secrets that you never knew existed until well after they're dead and gone. But yeah, you know, repressed memories, things like that. So it's sort of a city versus country kind of thing. Younger generation versus older generation to some degree. So yeah. And then, it's fairly short, so it moves pretty quickly, and a lot of people are so far are liking it. It's had its good reviews so far. People are liking the ending because I knew that was going to be a topic of discussion once the book came out. So yeah, it's doing fairly well. I'm happy about it.
Excellent. And for both, yeah, are these self-published or published through a publisher of some sort?
Both of them are through Journal Stone Publishing.
Journal Stone. Okay, I was trying to find it on the Amazon page where the name of the publisher was.
Yeah, it's mine came out on November 14th, and Tom's came out on the 5th.
Yeah,
Was
the
it?
fifth.
Yeah, December 5th.
Wait, on Krampusnacht?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a hell of a good time to release a book.
Almost like it was planned.
Dude, was it?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to say yes, but.
Well,
If
take
it was a
advantage
book
of it
about
and just go with
Krampus,
it.
if it was a book about Krampus, then yeah, it would have been right on the money.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it could
Oh,
be.
wait, do we got some
I
Krampus?
don't
Because we
know.
love a good Krampus story.
Well, you're supposed to stretch first.
Well,
Oh, not
yeah.
cramp, sorry.
Yeah. Cramp us, cramp them,
I don't know.
stretch. Oh, I got the
Darn
pun as
rule,
soon as you
please.
said it.
I apologize for that.
That's called a dad joke.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh, we love dad jokes.
or
Especially
my
bad
age, more
ones.
like a grandpa joke.
Okay. I'm an old fart, so I do get it.
Well, good. I don't feel so alone.
Exactly. There's more of us out there than those young whippersnippers anyways.
That's right. Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Oh, there was an image. Oh, crap. What the hell was it? A meme that was some old guy yelling at some kids with an L and says, get that something off my lawn. It's like, oh, we're just moving it. Something dumb. But it was funny.
We'll take your word for it.
You'll have to because I can't remember the name of it. Because I'm old,
There
I
you go.
forgot it already. So Jack in the chat room is saying he's thinking of doing a Krampus story for a new Black Dog anthology.
Well, there you
Yeah, well, Jack's a fellow writer as well. I've
go.
had some stuff published too, but I don't toot my own horn too much on this show.
Well, yeah. No.
And did one of y'all get into the chat room? Because somebody new just added there. By the way, we do have a chat room for anybody listening. tmvcafe.com/radio. And if you're interested, ask questions. I will throw it at the fun gentlemen, Tom and Sheldon. And I won't use the sharp bits either. What do you call your steak, Mr. Pointy? What do you do with it? Sharp end goes in the other guy. Okay. That's a
That's
Buffy
all, folks.
reference. That's a Buffy reference for people who don't.
Buffy, there's
We like Buffy. Buffy was fun. They're
yeah,
doing a new one.
they are.
Excited. So both of these books sound like rooted in what do we want to call it? Cultural identity, humanness stuff. Sheldon's book sounds like it's about the person and the story of the person, and then Tom's book sounds more about a monster. Does it become more human than monster, or more monster than
Yeah,
human?
I think it's kind of like it explores a monster in many different forms. Whether we
So it could
create
be,
our own monsters or,
yeah.
because I didn't explain it very well in the beginning. There's actually very difficult interpersonal relationships between the main character and his father, and with some of the experiences he had during high school that forced him to leave the town So he has to deal with those monsters, you know, monsters that he's created, monsters that were socially created. So just trying to explore that, like, which is more difficult to fight and survive.
All right. That sounds like the eternal journey of the monster in all of us.
Yes.
As it were. Have you read each other's book? I mean, you guys being friends and all, I would imagine that that's probably happened.
Actually, I did, and I actually blurbed Sheldon's book, and I absolutely loved it. Because him and I have been friends for so long, we've often, you know, talked our ways through plot issues or how we get stuck on certain books or stories. And so I had read bits and pieces of Dark Roots before, but then when I finally read it in its entirety, yeah, I was blown away. It was a really good read. It was really, you know, the ending, like Sheldon says, is definitely, it's not always what a lot of people might want. Sometimes you write the story that or the ending to a story that the story needs. And Sheldon is a great writer, and this book did not disappoint at all.
For me, Tom's book, I read an early draft. So it's been a while. Now I do have a copy of the book itself now, so I can actually read the finalized version. But I have like a super early draft of it that I read a long time ago. Like you said, you know.
But it didn't change anything from the early draft, right? It's exactly the same. It's perfect, right?
It was good then, so I can only imagine how it is now. But yeah, so I'm waiting. I'm looking forward to jumping in and seeing the final words, if you will.
We have a question in the chat room. We'll throw this at you. What's your favorite type of monsters?
Take it, Sheldon.
Mine, in the majority of my writing, I rarely write about monsters. You know, I've written about vampires, and I've written about, you know, some stuff here and there, but majority of my monsters are people. I think, you know, the worst monsters in the world are people. Hence why, you know, Frankenstein is probably my favorite universal monster, if you will, because the monster isn't the monster, it's actually the doctor. The monster itself is actually more human than the doctor. So that would be my answer. That's just how I work. I just gravitate towards people being the monsters.
Cool. And Tom?
You know, not to be redundant, but I kind of feel the same way. What Sheldon said, where, you know, I tend to, the monsters are kind of like backdrop to me in my stories. They're the reason for my characters to do something, to react to something, to overcome something. Whether it's an internal monster that we create of our own, you know, doing, or society as a monster. That's why, to segue into my actual favorite monster, like in movies and fiction, it would be zombies. always has been, always will be. But, you know, in like my one book, Heaven, Hell, or Houston, I've had some reviews that were saying this is a fun read. The zombies are more of a backdrop to the characters and what's going on amongst, you know, they're surviving this horrible situation. So, but zombies will always be my favorite.
Excellent choice. That would be mine as well.
Well, the obvious cool thing reasons. The cool thing about zombies, and I've written that I can remember offhand, two zombie stories, I think, maybe three, because they're very pliable. You can sort of mold them in many ways. You know, they're not just, if to me, a zombie was just a zombie and that's it. And they're just hungry for whatever, can kind of get boring. But if you give them some bones and some meat to them, then you can make it even better. You know what I mean? They're kind of like clay. So you can tell a lot of stories in various ways with zombies, and you can go deep. You don't have to go deep. You can just go, exterior only, and just go full out blood and gore. Or you can tackle commercialism, if you want, like Romero did. So that's the cool thing about zombies, is that you can play around with them a lot.
And they're
I
messy.
agree. They're definitely like a blank slate. Sheldon's right. You can kind of use them and mold them any way you want, and then have them tear people apart. That's just the fun part.
That's the fun part.
Yeah,
Rip them to
that's
shreds.
the fun part. Because I, it's funny because there's a novel that I'm gonna write for adults after I finish up a couple books for the Erie Brothers, but and there's zombies in it, and I'm actually looking forward to it because the way I'm gonna write them, I've searched the internet and I can't. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but I can't find anything that has been done with what I want to do with them. And so maybe, again, it doesn't mean it's not out there. I mean, all ideas have been done. It's just, you got to find a different way of doing it. But so I'm pretty excited about getting to that, because I can't wait to sort of write these zombies and see how people take that.
I can pretty much guarantee you, if it's a zombie story, somebody has written something either very close or bang
Oh
on.
yeah. Yeah.
I
I
mean,
mean, yeah.
every year they come up with a new zombie. Somebody comes out with a new zombie movie. It's like, oh, that's nifty. I like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Sheldon, I was
So,
going to
well,
mention something.
that's
We're in a book
huh?
together.
Yeah. Okay. There's the third one then, the poem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my third
Fishes
one. Yeah.
Versus and Reanimated Rhymes. I forgot
Yeah, I
about that
wrote
one.
a
That was ages ago.
mine. Yeah, mine was about Romero.
Oh, cool.
So if you read it, you'll see all the references to the movies. Each stanza is a reference to Night of the Living Dead, and then second stanza is Dawn of the Dead, and then blah, blah, blah.
I cannot remember what mine was about. That's like 14 years ago. Damn.
2000, I can't remember, 2011? I can
29,
tell you because I have.
2009.
Huh?
It came out 2009.
Two
Oh my
thousand nine?
gosh.
Okay. Well, I have it right here. I can tell you what yours is.
Well, I have it somewhere as well. It's just harder to reach right now.
No, I have it in my hands.
Oh.
So I'll tell you here in a
Yeah.
second. So just keep talking, because there's a lot of names in here. So I got to go through all these.
Oh, the end has come. Ah, I was just probably a general zombie story for me.
Is that what it was called?
It's in the description down farther down.
Okay. Yeah, mine's called Evolution of the Dead.
Yep, there it is. And I know some of the other people here too.
Yeah.
Fun. Okay. I just saw
Yep,
that when I was
yep.
scrolling through the books, and it's like, ooh, I remember that cover.
That's and also it's from a Canadian publisher.
Yes. And a Canadian editor, A.P. Fuchs, which I'm not going to pronounce his name the other way.
No.
It's okay because you can swear on this show. It's all right.
Would that be wrong?
No. We're not.
Okay, just checking.
Who is the. In Canada, it's the. I don't remember who it is in Canada. In the US, it's the FCC. In Canada. Oh, man. I'm not going to worry about it. They don't bother. This is a podcast. They don't care.
They're
Not that
like,
I'm going
eh.
to say certain words on here, but perfectly fine if you swear. Won't be a D-bomb if you do.
I will withhold my tongue
I tend
from
not to
saying
swear
bad
that
words.
often on this show, but every once in a while an F-bomb or an S-bomb will drop out. It's like, oh, yeah, I said that. I'm not worried about it.
I might say, you hoser or something like that. I
Hoser,
might
take
get
off, eh?
I might get a little nasty, a little
Little saucy there.
Yes, just a tad saucy there. A little bit of Labatt's Blue or something on that. It's like, okay.
Red green.
Oh,
Red
red
green.
green is awesome.
I love red green.
Have you ever seen Little House? Sorry, Little Mosque on the Prairie, or Corner Gas?
That I have. The other one,
Yeah.
no.
Okay. Well, they're fun little Canadian versions of American style shows, but made Canadian wise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, you got to keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah, man. Oh yeah. Don't forget them guys, Letterkenny. That's a real town.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah. When I was first introduced to Letterkenny as a show, I was like, "You guys is asinine, but funny." I had to look it up. I was like, "Oh yeah, it's up near there, somewhere between Ontario and Quebec."
Yeah, okay. All right.
Real places. Oh, if you ever get the opportunity to watch a zombie movie called Pontypool,
I have seen it.
great movie, great premise. I love it.
Yep.
And it's a real town, also between
Yeah,
Ontario and
yeah.
Quebec.
Yeah, yep, that I knew. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that a long time ago.
Yeah, I get to see it every once in a while again because I like movies like that. Great idea when you can take something and make it quirky and it's like, wait, zombie infection has a language? That's cool.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I guess I'll have to see it.
You haven't seen it yet? Dude.
No, I've seen it, but I've always like, I'll get to that, I'll get to that, I'll get to that kind of thing.
Ah, so you call yourself a zombie fan, right?
Yeah, I know, I know. Don't take my card away.
I won't take your card away, but I'm going to say, can you name me five odd zombie-related movies?
Doghouse.
Love Doghouse.
Yeah, not a lot of people have seen that one. They're like, what? You got Cooties.
Cooties is an
Cooties.
amazingly fun movie.
That was a yeah, very funny movie. And a
I
good
love the
cast
basic
too. I was kind
premise.
of surprised.
Yeah.
I love the one line where he's looking at what's his face who was in the Hobbit movie. He's like, what are you gonna do? Run around in the forest like a hobbit? And he's like,
Yeah.
I
Little inside
just love
joke, yeah.
that.
It's a little meta, but that works. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. It's too late for trivia. My brain isn't gonna function, but
Ah. Okay, I'm gonna throw another one at you. It stains
All
the
right.
sands red. I picked this up just because of the title.
Is this?
I know that I've heard that.
It's a really well done movie, but it's about one person trying to get away from one zombie in the deserts in Nevada.
Well, that's a great idea.
It's awesome.
I know.
That's a
I know that one.
Okay.
There's one that's set in Australia, that was
There's
really good.
several. Wormwood.
Yeah,
Well,
there's quite a few.
I know. Well, yeah. But it was quite popular, I think.
I think you're
And
thinking
I can't.
Wormwood.
No, it doesn't sound right.
Oh.
And it. Oh my goodness. Now, I
You're
just
not
let this
thinking
down
Black
that.
Sheep.
No. I can see the cover. It's the guy. He's got like a big beard and like a Solomon Kane hat. Oh gosh. Yeah,
Wolf
it's
Creek?
where I'm with. I don't know, I think I'm wasting their time here. Sorry.
Okay,
You've
no
seen
worries.
One of the Dead?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen
How about One
Maggie?
Cut of the Dead? Did you see One Cut of the Dead?
One Cut of the Dead. Sounds
The
familiar, but
Korean
I'm
movie?
not. No.
Yeah, you should check that one out. That one's really cool. They're actually making a zombie. It's like an independent crew making a zombie movie while an actual zombie outbreak happens while they're making it.
I take
And
it
then
back. I have
the
seen that
director
because I
is the
recognize that guy's face.
Okay. And the director keeps, you know, like, he keeps rolling, you know, like, because, you know, now he has real zombies to use in his film.
Well, he doesn't have to pay for makeup.
Yeah, he's like, wow, okay. They don't even have SAG cards. That's all right.
Well, I don't think Korea is worried about SAG cards anyways.
No, no. Of course, you know, Train to Busan.
Yep. And the sequel.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
wasn't as good.
The sequel I didn't see, so I don't know if it's as good as the first one.
It was
one
not as good.
I didn't think it would be.
Now, there is a zombie movie that I do refuse to see.
Children of the Dead?
No, I like that sort of thing.
Zombie ass?
Yes.
Is it about a hiney or is it about a donkey?
No, it's about zombies infected by shit.
Oh, okay. So that's the... Okay, I see.
It's Japanese.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Look up the trailer. It's like, that was enough for me to see. It's like, danger. Every time there's some poop flying through the air, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's... I'd probably skip that one.
Yeah, I would. Although Fido is fun.
Fido, yes, I've seen that one.
That was fun. Okay, so I looked it up, guys. And you're not going to believe the title.
Shoot.
Undead.
I was going to suggest because it came up on my list as well. And it's like, I don't know if that's the one he's talking about or not.
Yeah, no, that it is. Was. That's an Australian zombie film, yeah. I remember when that came out,
I really liked that movie, actually. You know, it kind of, to me, it almost had like a Stephen King ending to it. If I remember correctly. Maybe I'm wrong.
Wouldn't surprise me.
The Mist kind of.
Ooh, I love the ending of that movie. I killed them all so they wouldn't be terribly in pain. In comes the army and it solves everything. It's like, oh, shit. Great ending of a movie. Great ending.
I think the brothers who did Talk to Me, and then there's their other film that came out this past summer. What was that called? They're Australian brothers. And they made Talk to Me where you had to hold that hand and then you could see the dead person across from you.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good movie. And then they just made a new one that came out over the summer. What was it called? Something Her. And it did really well. It was their sort of follow-up film. They should do a zombie movie because they'd probably do a really cool version. But yeah, they're Australians.
Excellent. Australians make some weird shit, and I like it.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Talk to Me, you should definitely check it out.
Who?
It's called Talk to Me.
Ah, gotcha. I will check that out at some point. Not like I don't have thousands of other movies to watch as well, so I totally do. I am always amazed at how many movies come out every year, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, tons.
Since the last 15 years, it's been increasing in quantity. I was doing a little sort of personal investigation thing on it. And on average, we're looking at about 1,400 sci-fi, horror, fantasy movies released every year now.
Yeah, that's probably tracks. Yep. You know, I mean,
yep.
It's you know, even though it still takes money, it is more accessible to make films these days now.
They don't all take money.
Well,
I have watched a movie that had a $282 budget.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. No, but it was a movie. That was one
and
of the ones that
made me laugh.
Yeah.
Which is the main thing I've seen. That's the main thing to me is making you enjoy a movie. So what drives you to write a book?
You go ahead, Tom.
A lot of times I think it's you have an idea and it just keeps gnawing at you until you get it on paper. And I love the blank page. You know, it terrifies a lot of people, but I look at that as such a new opportunity to create something out of nothing. And I think that's why, whether it's writing or drawing or painting, that's always been my drive, is to create something from nothing and you kind of learn more about yourself with everything you write. So it's kind of always a fun experiment.
For me, what drives me to write a novel is the same thing that drives me to write a short story, to write a screenplay, to write a poem. It's really about, for me, it's about creative, the process, it's about creativity, and it's about using my imagination and turning nothing into something, an idea to a physical item that you can hold and read and keep forever as long as you want to keep it. But yeah, it usually comes from just wanting to, you know, like share what you love. And then, you know, obviously ideas come to you, and then once one comes to you and won't let go, then you have to follow it. And then next thing you know, you've opened up a door, and then you got these characters walking in, and they're all talking to you at once because they all want your attention. They want to be on the page. And so then you sort of go with that and see where it goes.
I was going to say that sounds like a Dire Straits song.
I think I just read the lyrics from one song, yeah. Thanks, Mark Knopfler.
I couldn't help it. That was one of those things. It's like, sounds like a Dire Straits song. I know it. Exactly, that one.
Yeah, that's. I was just watching the video this morning. I went, you know what? I'm going to use that for an interview question.
Wonderful. I like creative stuff. So, as you're, both of you are talking about blank page ideology there, do you prefer to hand write or do you to type?
For me, if I'm somewhere and something hits me where I don't have anything to, I mean, obviously I have my phone. I can pull that out and just write something there. But I do like, I do take, or not take, but I make notes. I write down pages and pages of ideas and notes in regards to the novel that I'm writing. So I'll have all that, and then I'll, you know, obviously in the program, I'll have a second screen up with a blank page where I'll take scenes or paragraphs or sentences from whatever chapter, and then I'll paste it over there, and I'll save that as a file. So then when I'm done, I'll have a whole file of deleted and cut and unused scenes from the book. But yeah, I make all my notes with pen and paper. And then when I'm done with the book, I'll go through all those notes and then go back through the book and then add whatever I think I need to add and go, oh, I wrote that down. Yeah, I got to go put that in chapter four. I better, you know, because I'll forget if I don't. But writing the actual book itself, it's mostly me and the computer.
And Tom?
Yeah, I hate to be a broken record, but Shelley and I work quite similar. Is that I love to write notes by hand, and I mean I love, you know, back to school time is like still my favorite time of year because I love going and getting all the stationery stuff, you know, all the pads and the pens, and I'm very particular about my pens, and so I love to start a novel or a short story idea with you know just writing, but then. Because my handwriting is so horrible.
This is why I don't do it.
That's why I'm, you know, I love the computer. And I go straight to that once my ideas are there. But I always keep that notepad right next to me. And then I just start on a Word document or whatever software I'm using at the time. But it always starts with, I think there's like something, there's a tactile thing about initial ideas about writing, like almost like the pen is a conduit, you know, to inspire you to, because you have to think about it longer, you know, you really have to, it takes more of an effort to write the ideas down, so it means you're, at least my wheels are turning a lot harder and coming up with ideas by using pen and paper in the beginning.
So you like the tactile thing?
I do.
Do you have a clickety clackety keyboard or a chiclet keyboard like I do?
I've got both. And it kind of depends on what mood I'm in. Sometimes sometimes the action on those clickety clackety ones are a little bit difficult. Since I've got like these gorilla size hands, you know, if the keyboard is too small, it's like I can't. It becomes like I'm like Hulk Smash.
Hulk Smash button.
That's right.
So did you learn how to type on a typewriter? Because that's how I learned how to type. I old school typewriter, the Olympias or whatever, and it's like pam, 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 pam.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Actually, I took typing in high school, or junior high, actually.
Yeah.
But I also learned at home, my mom had an old Olympia manual where you broke your fingers trying to learn how to type. But yeah, in junior high, we used the IBM Selectric, I think they were called.
Yep, I remember those.
Yeah, but that was probably the most useful thing that came out of high school for me, was learning how to type.
I took typing class, but I didn't do anything. I just sort of used my teacher's book for, there was a test, and he gave us a little test. I would just use his book for the answers, but we never had to, I passed it, but I never really learned how to do it. So I don't type like you should type. I'm a two-finger person, one finger on this hand, one finger on that one, but I know where all the letters are, so I can type.
You're the hunt, you know, and peck.
Yeah, like a chicken, you know. So, you know, I can still, I know, you know, I can do it that way, but I don't do it like the way you're supposed to.
The touch typing style.
Yeah, my words per minute are probably really, really bad, I'm sure. Nothing to brag about.
I'm not going to brag, but I'm pretty good at it. I'm not gonna say nothing more on that.
Yeah, I've went on websites and taken a little test where it times you, tells you how fast you are, you know, and you have to write what's there. But I'm always like suck. It literally tells me you suck. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you gotta like those programs. It's like, hey, you're doing really. Nah, you actually suck.
Yeah, you know what? Just stop now. You know, just stop typing. Seriously, you're like, what? No, I
want you to stop. Save your typing. Ego. Just stop. You're done. It's all good. Here's a participation award.
Close out this window
award.
And go bye-bye. Yeah.
Well,
just turn off the computer.
There was a question in the chat room that I'm going to share with y'all now. And this is talking about horror in general. What deaths have you found in media that really impressed you?
Death?
I'm talking in movies and books or whatever.
Yeah, a death scene in a film that was like really cool or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I could bring up Dead Alive and probably have, you know, go over the whole ending with that one. Just give me a lawnmower and there you go.
I love that movie.
Yeah, me too. I don't know because, you know, a good one, a recent one that see, this stuff, I don't go, oh, my God. I kind of go, oh, that's kind of cool, and I kind of laugh. But, you know, you've seen Terrifier?
Yes.
You know, in the first one.
All three of them.
The girl, yeah, he has the girl upside down in the first one, and he uses it, you know, cuts her down the middle. Yeah,
I know exactly which scene you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's a fun one, you know. But, you know, here's the funny thing. The death scenes that stay with me are the ones that, well, you know, I'll end up crying over. So, you know, like, let's talk, Remember the Mask?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that movie with Cher and Eric Stoltz? And
Really watch that one, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's, well, you know.
I thought you were talking the Jim Carrey one.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, well, he, you know. He, of course, he died at the end of it, and then, you know, it was all teary-eyed. But then, you know, like The Elephant Man with John Hurt, you know, because he obviously died. You know, so it's usually a character that dies that I remember the most. But from a horror film or something like that, I see so many of them that none of them really stick with me, you know.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just because I've seen so much that I mean, I'm sure in 1989, I saw a movie and I'm like, oh, you know, that was cool. You know, and then I would tell my friends all about it. And then, you know, but now I can't tell you what it was. So yeah, there's nothing that stays with me, that I can at least remember.
Tom?
Yeah, I would say, since Sheldon kind of brought up the two different kinds of death scenes, I think horror-wise, I would go probably The Walking Dead with Glenn and Negan. That I mean, more than
yeah.
A lot of
you mean the baseball bat?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the eyes popping out.
Yeah.
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 And it wasn't the grossness that, I mean, I think it was because you cared about the characters so much.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's brutality of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And because he was such a great character that, you know, you definitely rooted for him. So when his time came and it was such in that manner that, yeah, it hit you a lot harder than normal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I would say, for as far as the kind of death that, like Sheldon mentioned about crying at, this is going to be really far off the field here, but it would probably be the Doc Holliday death in Tombstone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just really liked the quiet way it was shot and the way Val Kilmer acted. And then the humor of die with your boots on, and his boots were off, and he said, that's funny. You know, it was a subtle performance and a subtle line that I just thought it was brilliant.
Well, you know, I one of my favorite animated films of all time is The Iron Giant, and every time I see that,
excellent,
I cry.
Movie.
You know,
yeah.
So,
have you watched Ready Player One?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
I love that cameo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably my favorite animated movie of all time, probably.
All right. Now I'm going to try and break my brain and say what's my favorite. I've seen too many.
Yeah. You know, especially there's just so much of it that, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff out there I'm like, you know, I could bring up if I thought hard and long about it, but
yes,
nothing nothing that comes to me right away.
Yes, this is exactly. I mean, I had the same answer in the chat room. It's like, yeah, it's none of them. That's too many of them. I see so many death scenes in so many movies, and they all make me giggle because it's like, well, no, that would. I'm a physics guy and science guy, so it's like every time I see one of these death scenes or whatever, it's like, no, it wouldn't do that. But that looked funny. But speaking of the Glenn Walking Dead death scene, did you know that they actually filmed a death scene for all of them? And they leaked bits and pieces of it so that you would never know which one was the right one until they actually ran the show?
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
Well, it's because they knew that people were going to get clues and it was going to be leaked at some point. So they said, we'll mess with everyone.
Oh, they're very good at that.
Yeah. I thought that was amazingly well done. A great piece of cinematography, whatever, just to really do that. So
indeed, it was great.
Yeah. And I'm just going to throw onto another topic similar to that. If you were to say what thing got you into horror, a movie, a book, a scary moment, waking up from a bad nightmare, what would it have been that set you on that path into the wonderful world of horror? I'll tell you what mine was. It was a Canadian movie called Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Dead Things, yep.
Love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Picked it up on Blu-ray remastered there from last year or something like that. I got to rewatch
Bob Clark.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know he went on what movies he went on to make, right?
A few.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
You know, A Christmas Story and Porky's.
Yeah. Not the kinds of movies I liked, but whatever.
But, you know, here you have a guy who did Black Christmas, one of the earliest slasher films. you know, and then he went on and did, you know, Porky's, and then of course Christmas Story, you know, and then of course Jonah Shouldn't Play the Dead thing. So it's pretty funny how he has a stamp on the horror genre.
Yeah. And did you know that Porky's was the highest grossing return on profit Canadian movie ever made?
Really?
And I don't know if it still has that classification, but at one point in the last 20 years, it was definitely marked as the most profitable movie ever made in Canada.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I never knew that. But, I mean, I could see it.
Yeah, it was a great movie. It was hilarious.
Huh?
I thought he was going to say it was a documentary.
No, that one was definitely not a documentary.
For me, it was really just several things. It was my mom and growing up as a latchkey kid. You take those together and, you know, you're out on your bike all night and you're watching, you know, horror hosts that on Saturday nights, and you're watching Twilight Zone on TV, like, you know, it's on every night after the news, and Stephen King's in his heyday prime and all that stuff, and comic books and 80s horror films. And then you have a mom who likes horror and gives you all that stuff. And
excellent.
You know, so all that together is why I'm at where I'm at.
Yeah, again, Sheldon and I are very similar. It's like an amalgamation of a lot of things. You know, my mom, too, was a reader. She loved Stephen King, except for she didn't like some of the profanity he used. But she loved his stories. But I saw three films that changed me for horror, and that would be Burnt Offerings.
Cool.
Yeah.
I saw A Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
And then Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
Fun movie.
And I think they really pushed me in that direction. And then in junior high, I read Amityville Horror. And for some reason, it terrified me. I don't know why. I actually, at some point, I was reading it during summer break, and I got so freaked out by it in the middle of the afternoon, sunny afternoon. I had to put it in one of my drawers and cover it with clothes so it was hiding, and just leave it alone. But yeah, I think and like Sheldon said too, the comic books and all those EC comics and things like that, and all the Marvel and DC things. Yeah, all those. Yeah,
it's just, that, you know, Creep magazine and Eerie magazine.
Yep,
Vault of Horror.
Vampirella.
Oh, Eerie was fantastic. Yeah, Vampirella, you know, so you had all that stuff. You know, it's just the 80s, man. You couldn't even watch TV without seeing a kid's toy, a horror kid's toy on TV, you know, or getting some sort of a horror toy out of a cereal box or whatever. You know, it was just everywhere. Now you're lucky if you saw a commercial that had something that resembled a horror toy.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we're pretty much at the end of the show, to be honest. Is there anything you wanted to highlight about either of your books and where you're going to be showing up at locations and stuff? And I have a whole host of other questions I normally yap about, but I guess we're not going to talk about those today. Oh, and I do want to say, if you're a big fan of Amityville, did you know that there's a movie Amityville in Space?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't hear about that
one.
Okay. So there's a whole segment of horror movies called Stuff Made by the Polonia Brothers. They're very low budget. So if you guys wanted to wrap up with anything you wanted to highlight or speak about, that would be fantastic.
For me, it's just, you know, you can get, I'm sure both are books. Since they're the same publisher, you can get both Snow Black and Dark Roots, you know, through, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. I know it's on Walmart.com, BooksAMillion.com, and some other sites. There's it's in Waterstones over in the UK. There's an Australian bookstore it's in. So yeah, if you just, you know, you can just type it up and search for it. I'd tell you you're on my website, but my website's down for the time being until I get a new one up. But yeah, that's what I would basically tell people to do, is just go to your usual haunts and you can find the book there.
And do you have a website or socials that you like people haunting you on?
Well, my website's currently down until I get it up with a brand new whole look and stuff. But I just tell people to go to, Facebook, Instagram, things like that.
Yeah, whatever Sheldon said goes for me as well, obviously, because same publisher and stuff. But my website is finally up. I'm still trying to get it where I want it, but it's at tomherb.com, and that's Tom with an H, a thom, herb.com. I want to thank you for having us on. It's been a good time, and I know Sheldon too. We're just trying to get the word out there and build a following, and hope people check out our books and leave reviews too, please. Oh my gosh, that's a must.
That's like extra mustard, which I don't like, but
and even a pickle, well, to some, that's okay.
I know. Some people but I wanna, like it.
I want to say the opportunity again to say people should really read Dark Roots because it is really, really a gripping, dark story that just Sheldon put his heart into this one. He does all of them, but I just want people to definitely, it's a good Christmas story. Not really. But it's a great story.
And well, there is a small Christmas scene in it, a chapter, so that takes place in the 1970s. So I guess there is a connection, but
it's not somebody taking an umbrella and going shoot into a Santa.
No, no, no.
Okay. Well, but, gentlemen, yeah, no. Appreciate both coming on and chatting and shooting the stuff. I love these kinds of episodes when I can talk with people because then I can sometimes just shut up and let everybody else talk for a bit. And it's great. It's great. I can rest my vocal cords and just like, hey, cool. They're going to talk for a few minutes.
Yeah, no, well, I appreciate you having me on.
And everybody out there in After Rot Land, thanks for listening. Check us out again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or whatever the hell time you are, wherever the hell you are. Check us out on afterrot.com, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky as well, whenever I think to get back on there and post stuff. But have fun, be good, all that fun stuff. If you like zombies, who doesn't like zombies? Have a pleasant Christmas season coming up now.